Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, welcome to Women Lead Radio. I'm Deborah Simpson, and today my guest is Jane Atkinson, the speaker launcher. Jane helps professional speakers catapult their careers. With over 20 years of experience, Jane is devoted to helping speakers. She's the author of The Wealthy Speaker 2.0 and the follow-up, The Epic Keynote. Speaker Launcher Coaching and Consulting offers private coaching, group coaching, teleseminars, and the Wealthy Speaker product line, all designed to help catapult the speaker's career. Whether you're new to business or have been speaking for 15 years, Jane Atkinson's Ready, Aim formula will save you time and money. The bottom line is more bookings. Jane, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here with me today.
I am thrilled to be with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I've been following you for a couple of years now, given that I'm also a speaker. So I know that you've been in the speaking industry for a long time. I'm really curious what trends you see currently in the speaking industry.
Well, I actually think that there's enough things that are staying the same that we can kind of all hang on to, because technology has probably been the thing that has changed the most dramatically. So social media and how much time we as speakers need to spend on said technology has really changed the game. The way that clients get in touch with us now can be multiple avenues. They might find us off Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and that has completely changed the dynamic. That's changed up the industry significantly. And of course, you know, we're talking about balance today, so I think social media is certainly, and our phones being in our hand, has certainly changed the game for us, don't you think?
Absolutely. I grew up dialing a rotary telephone. Mm-hmm. I never imagined that we would be able to do as much as we could do with a phone. I mean, it's been remarkable what it's allowed us to do. One of the trends I wanted to ask you about in the speaking industry, since you've been around for a long time or a while, and I've been in the speaking industry for quite a while as well, as I work with my speakers in the Speakers Guild and I look at conferences, I find more and more of them not paying the speaker. Is that a growing trend in the speaking industry from your point of view?
No. I've got a lot of clients who are out there doing it at very, very high dollar volumes. And I think there's always been clients that have been, you know, oh, we're going to use an industry professional or something like that instead. And what I recommend my clients to do in those situations is to keep digging for industries that will pay, for keep looking for, you know, the Fortune 500, the Fortune 100 companies. They've got massive, massive budgets, sometimes $100,000 to $150,000 for any given number of speakers. And so I still believe that the industry has a lot of fees, that we just have to find them. It's a digging process. There's a little bit of mining that needs to be done.
Is it a little bit more mining that's a little more difficult than it was in years gone by?
I think it still comes down. So when I was talking about, you know, clinging on to the things that have stayed the same, I still think when the day is done, Deborah, that it comes back to relationships and building good, solid, long-term client relationships. And maybe that means mining in your own backyard the relationships that you already have, rather than constantly trying to seek out new audiences and new clients and new markets. Maybe, you know, I have this one client who is big in the food service industry. So we have her circling back to food services and really continuing to build on the relationships with the people who already know, like, and trust her.
That's a great strategy. That's a key piece of advice. We'll have to make sure that they know to write that one down, because I think that's a really good point. When you're always trying to be the new person to the conference, it may be a little bit more difficult than if you had given a presentation to that same conference a couple years before and they have a track record with you. It'd probably be much easier to negotiate your speaking fees.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And you know, those are the people that you really want to build the relationships with, too, on the social mediums. Because when it's always about building and building and building the list, you're constantly in this, like, a lot of, I think, what we're talking about is kind of like a mindset or a mentality, and trying to get more and get more and get more, get more followers, get more this, get more that. And when we really concentrate on serving the people that we are already with, that could be an interesting mindset to take as well. And I maybe, when it comes to this conversation of balance, might really help us just kind of take a deep breath and relax a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, those are great tips as well. It's always easier to work with a current relationship than try and create a new one, especially with so many speakers coming into the industries, because I see and work with a lot of business owners who use speaking to market their businesses. So it's an interesting time, I think, in public speaking, like you say, with the technological advances as well. And we have those disruptions when people create virtual summits and everything is online as well. But
right.
I know that you work with a lot of different speakers. Can you tell me some of the success stories you've had with some of the women that you've helped in speaking?
Oh, my goodness. I have the most amazing women clients. So one of the, I think someone tweeted last year, Kendra Hall, who's one of my clients. We've been kind of together since she was maybe under a year in the business. And she came up to me at an NSA event in Phoenix that I went and spoke to and said, you know, I'm going to be your next so-and-so. I was maybe bragging on one of my clients as I was up there speaking, and she said, that's going to be me who you're talking about. Well, here I am talking about Kendra Hall. So someone tweeted out last year after she spoke at NSA on the main stage, I think we can all agree that NSA has a collective crush on Kendra Hall, and it's true. She's an absolute dynamo, and she went from zero to, let's say her fee might be coming up, bumping up around the $20,000 mark very, very quickly, probably within about 3 years. And she is what I would call a focused hustler. And don't take hustler to be anything derogatory or negative. It's actually when people get out there and they hustle for the business in a very, very focused manner. They don't chase squirrels. And so she decided that her way of doing it was going to be sending out emails. And she set her number, and she just really, really committed to it. And it's been a massive success for her. And then there's someone else that has been a massive success, and we've only just started coaching together, and that's Marilyn Sherman. She has been in the business for 20 years as well. I actually, we just started working together last year in order to kind of keep that going, to keep reinventing her. But something cool, actually, it was Marilyn that I was discussing when we talked about, you know, circling back and really going deep in her area of food service. She has lots to go back to them with, especially because she just got inducted into the Speaking Hall of Fame and received her CPAE. So, you know, and we're always looking for reasons to kind of circle back to clients to tell them about a new book or good news or a fee increase or whatever it might be, or a new speech, so that we might be able to serve them in a different way. And that's the mode that she's in. And she's a tremendous success story as well.
And then what are some of the mistakes that women speakers make?
Well, I would say that it might be something around not standing tall in your fees, not being really confident. You know, Alan Weiss says that the first sale is to yourself. So if you decide that you're going to set your fee at $10,000 and you go about that, you know, you really have to be bold and you really have to move forward knowing that your value is there. And knowing the market, that the market can bear that, because I think that knowing and understanding the market is a big part of it. When clients come back to you with a little bit of fee pushback, when you can say, you know what, I'm really clear on my value. I really know and understand what I am delivering, what problems I'm helping to solve, then I think that that's a huge one. And I think that that's probably, and I'm not saying women do it more than men. I think that sometimes we have that people-pleasing gene where we want everybody to like us, and we're not okay with walking away from a negotiation. And when you're not willing to walk away from a piece of business, then you are typically going to cave and get paid. And what happens often is you'll show up and you'll find out that they hired somebody who's sharing the stage with you who got paid more than you, and, you know, that turns into a bit of ill will with you. So I think standing tall in the fees is probably the biggest thing that I would recommend people do, and maybe one of the challenges that we have.
And so when you're working with speakers, what is it that you're doing to help them?
Well, we follow this ready, aim, fire approach. So a lot of times people will be either inventing or reinventing. So in the ready stage, we get crystal clear on what we're selling. We develop some strong marketing language. We call that a promise statement. And we kind of know what markets we are going to target and who our ideal customer is, our avatar. And then we move into aim. And in the aim phase, we make sure that the website is crystal clear on the value that you're going to be presenting to the client. Some people need what we would call a marketing flip-flop to make it more about the client than themselves. And then once we have the website down, we move into fire. We roll that out to our target markets on a consistent basis. And sometimes we'll spend a few years in fire just making sure that the systems are getting up and running and that they're consistent and that they're clear. And, you know, if I work with someone long enough, which I have had some clients for 10 years, we'll go through several reinventions probably over those 10 years as well. So I help them on all of the areas of their business. And sometimes I think they say it's hard to see the label from inside the jar. It just makes it easier to have a coach at your side to say, should I do this or should I not do this? Or here are two choices. Help me decide which one, and just kind of talk it through from a unbiased and maybe less emotional perspective.
I'm wondering, and I'm very curious, how did you get into the speaking arena?
Well, I, 25 years old, this is over 25 years ago, ran across a PBS special on Les Brown doing his Live Your Dream speech. And so I just kind of fell into the industry very haphazardly. After seeing that, I'm like, oh, motivational speakers, this is interesting. And so I decided right there in that moment that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go and work for a professional speaker, a motivational speaker. And you know how you put things out to the universe and boom, things happen. So I think it was probably within 2 or 3 weeks after that, I was working on a contract position at 3M here in Canada. And someone said, oh, my best friend's become a motivational speaker. She just left 3M and boom, I had the first speaker that I went to represent. We did 3 years together, doubling her business every year, then got recruited out to Vancouver to with another speaker, and then down to Dallas, where I spent 6 years under the roof of a speaker's bureau and representing another speaker. And about 12 or 13 years ago, a lot of people were asking me, you know, how did you make this speaker so successful? And so I decided to come back to Canada, and I hung out my own shingle and became a coach. And ever since then, I've just kind of evolved the coaching practice and built up more and more different ways to reach more people.
I think that's a wonderful story. I didn't realize that you were in Canada. I thought you were in Northern New York. It's just between you and me, one of my favorite companies. I'm in love with Vancouver and Victoria. Those are my favorites. So I was born in the Pacific Northwest, not only above Canada and Alaska, but below Canada and Seattle, I lived as well. So it's always been a really special country to me, and I enjoy it very much. And I wanted to kind of move backwards a moment in time to one of the first questions I asked you about speaking fees. What advice would you give to women who want to command speaking fees of $10,000 and above?
I would say that in order to get that fee, now there might be some exceptions to this rule, and I'm actually going to give you an exception here in a second. Most of the people that I know that have done that have had a good, strong business application. And the industry, ever since I started with the Bureau probably over 20 years ago, there has been a demand for strong women business speakers. So Connie Podesta will tell everybody, hey, you know, I get the client up to 20,000, but then there's nobody to follow me. I need to breed more of these strong business women speakers. So I say that it needs to be on a business topic in order to get over 10. But I do know that there are situations like, take Mel Robbins, for instance. Mel Robbins, I don't even know what her fee is. It's probably over 30 at this point, because she is one of the most in-demand women, they say, in the world. I've heard that on a podcast before, in the world. Her book is called The 5-Second Rule. 5-Second Rule premise is that if you want to get something done in your life, you just 5-4-3-2 want it, and you count backwards from five, and that kind of changes up your brain and the way that you do things, and people can get more things done. So she's gone out to kind of the individual rather than businesses, but businesses, I'm quite sure, are hiring her for the 5-second rule talk. And so she would be the exception to the rule, which, you know, there's exceptions to everything we talk about in this industry, because there really is no one way to do it. But I would say that if you have a business talk, and the next thing I would focus on is being really, really epic from the platform. There's no bad investment when it comes to investing in your skills on the platform. And if you're really, really good and you solve a great problem for business, then I think you can get up over 10. No problem.
And when we talk about having a book, and, you know, in days previous to self-publishing, you had to have a publisher. It was it's a long, arduous process in order to get that book out, but it made you much more valuable as a speaker. Is that currently the same scenario with now we have the self-publishing, Amazon publishing, e-books, things like that? Is your book still a very important component to being a professional speaker?
I think the best case scenario is that you've written a book and that it's by one of the big New York publishers. But that doesn't mean that you have to go that route, because it does take a long time. And the big New York publishers aren't necessarily going to do a great job of promoting your book. You're still going to have to spend a ton of money promoting it. But when you get the most sophisticated client, they may look to see who published your book. But I think just having a book is enough. You know, I would say yes. Maybe that is, if you get 100 points for the best case scenario, that's 100. But maybe 85 points is great. And guess what? You're going to make a whole bunch more money if you self-publish your book. And there's a lot of ways to do it. For instance, there's a hybrid method where you could go with a Greenleaf publisher, and they you're going to pay some money up front to have them publish your book for you. But guess what? It's going to look as good as any one of the big New York publishing houses will look. It's going to be edited properly. You're going to have a beautiful cover design, and you're going to get the distribution that is so hard to get when you do it yourself. So if you want to be in bookstores, the hybrid is a secondary idea for you. Or, and I've done that, I've worked with Greenleaf before, or I've also completely self-published, and that means that I'm making the biggest margins. I may not have big-time bookstore distribution, but I don't care, because I have a really good handle on my market anyway, and so it doesn't mean that much to me. So I think you start with kind of thinking about distribution, and if you really want to use your book as a calling card to say, hey, I'm serious, I'm an expert on the subject matter, and you don't want to wait a long, long time, then I would say maybe that self-publishing is a great option.
And what I'd like to do right now is just take a moment. And can you share with the listeners how they might be able to get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about working with you?
Absolutely. They can go over to speakerlauncher.com, and we have a 3-part video series. They can sign up for that. That walks them through the Ready, Aim, Fire process. That's a really great way to get involved and kind of get on the list and see what all is happening. We've got a ton of things happening over here, Deborah. Live events. We've got the next one coming up in September in Toronto. We've got groups. We've got a mastermind that's starting in October. And there's lots of other things that are going on, including one-on-one. So, come on over to speakerlauncher.com, and you'll see lots of ways to get started.
Wonderful. And what do you see as the future of speaking, given that we mentioned earlier all this new technology that we have?
I think that video needs to become your friend. So one of my coaches is telling me, okay, Jane, we need you to do more video. So every week I'm putting a video out on LinkedIn with a tip. Maybe something that is 4, 5, 6 minutes that can allow people to just kind of see me on a regular basis and start to expect it. Whatever you do, commit to it on a regular basis, because I think that's probably why some things haven't worked in my own business, is that I haven't really committed to them 100%. So I would say be doing things on video. If you want to be a professional speaker, then be seen on video. The more often you can be seen, the better. You know, they're encouraging me to do, this is my social media coach, they're also encouraging me to do Facebook Live. And so I have a new paid membership community, the Wealthy Speaker Community. And people, that's where I'm going to be doing my Facebook Lives. So, you know, just commit to video. I think with what's going on in technology today, the more we can get really good at it, the more we can get really comfortable at it, the more that will serve you in the long haul.
Yes, I agree. I think that's so important. I think the hard thing about video is that we always want to, as women, present our best face forward when it comes to video. So a lot of the times, because I've been in technology for a long time, I worked with Firm McGraw-Hill for many years, taking their school textbooks and turning them into online portals. So I've told women, you know, don't be afraid. Just get out there and do it. And don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Because sometimes, you know, doing video for the ladies that are listening who are speakers, doing video is just a matter of practicing, practicing, practicing. And then we become much more comfortable when we're familiar with what we're doing. So, you know, I tell people, I'm doing a whole series of videos right now for one of my coaches. And I actually have a whiteboard that I can write my notes on, and I look at the whiteboard when I'm doing the video. So it works out really well. So ladies, there are a lot of ways to do video that will make you really comfortable. Jane, it's been so much fun to talk to you. I've been following you for a while, which is why I reached out to you. I've just had a great time. Are there any final words of wisdom you'd like to give those women who are out there looking for those speaking gigs and putting that passionate message forward for those audiences?
Well, one of the things that I do every morning is I set my intention. So thinking about what it is that you want and doing that on a regular basis. I think women can tend to get really wrapped up in what everybody else wants, especially if they have children at home. And so really be taking some time every single day to think about what it is that you want and what it is that you want in your career long term. You know, map it out, what the perfect day looks like 5 years from now. I had a coach years ago who helped me map out my life. I think we were doing that work 20 years ago, and I am living that exact life today. Like, I really believe in the whole idea of visualizing it, because I think the more you do it, the more it can come true. And that's the way to get, you know, the big fees and things like that, is to really imagine it come true. Like I said, the first sale is to yourself. And I think working it into your mindset that anything is possible is a great way to go.
I agree completely with you. That is just a wonderful way to leave our conversation today. Jane, thank you so much for being one of our leading ladies on Women Lead Radio. We really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
And that's our show for today. I'd like to thank Jane for being our leading lady today. And we are here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. Remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seeds of either success or failure in the mind of another. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.